Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech will by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit enjoy the Spirit.
Can we say a word of prayer? My Father in heaven, I commit this hour to your care. I submit myself and ask for clarity of thoughts and clarity of mind and capacity to speak the words of God and the truth of God in a way and a manner that will not bring confusion but clarity to people's hearts, words that will bring faith and inspire confidence in you, that will cause us to walk in a way that is honorable to your, in your sight, in the name of Jesus. I pray, Father, that the words will be well received and it will mix with faith in the heart of your people in Jesus' name. Trust you for those who are on their way, that you will strengthen them, you will bring them, and Father, they will not miss in this meeting in Jesus' name. And those who are far away and following us on Mixed LR, I pray for them that they also will be blessed along with us in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God. Technical, can you bring this up a little bit? Glory to God. So I said I want to continue along the line of glory, but with a little deviation. We've been speaking more about the glory in the believer. What exactly are we to expect? And we have looked at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, when Paul compared the glory of the... Again, need to reiterate that they are not the same, never designed to be the same, praise God. And the New Testament glory, according to Paul, far exceeds the glory of the Old Testament. Amen. Now, if you look at what happened in the Old Testament, in the days of Moses, you would have said that there can and there may never be another type of glory manifestation like that of Moses. But Paul said to us, are you putting this on? In chapter 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, are you there? Now, if you, let's pick the thought from verse 6. He said about him, again, it was, now please understand this. In the Old Testament, there was spirit, praise God. There was the Holy Ghost. Isaiah chapter 61 said, the prophecy about Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Amen. But in that time, there was the Spirit also upon the prophets of God. Praise God. So, there was manifestation of the Spirit. All those things are manifestations of the Spirit. Amen. But what they will accomplish will be different as per the each of the testaments. Now, what made the Old Testament weak? It was because it was based on the weak foundations. Hebrews told us that it's made of animal sacrifices, poor sacrifices that had no power to touch the heart of a man. Praise God. But this testament with a better promise or promises and better sacrifice. Amen. Now, if you look at, did not understand what he was saying. Tell me, which promise could be better than I shall not die but live? Did you hear what I said? That thing we quote is a promise, is an Old Testament promise. I shall not die but live. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Anything that rises against me in judgment shall stand condemned. Amen. Now, which New Testament promise can equal that? Praise God. I don't know whether you're with me. So when you compare it from the natural perspective, you begin to wonder, is Paul really, does he really know what he's talking about? Because what is holding the present church system up today is the New Old Testament promises. Amen. The church has not begun to activate most of the New Testament promises, of which Paul said far exceeded those promises. Amen. Because the problem with us is that we don't know what the Old Testament promised. And we don't even know what the New Testament has promised us. And so, you are more comfortable with that which is natural, and you cannot hold on to that which cannot be seen. Because in the Old Testament, it was a physical thing. They used to see it immediately. But in the New Testament, or rather, in the Old Testament, it came from the outside to the inside. In the New Testament, it comes from the inside to the outside. So it takes a long time for you to behold the glory. I don't know if I'm making sense. And for the past 2,000 years, the church has not been able to decode how they can bring forth that glory from the inside and demonstrate it on the outside. Glory to God. Now, the Old Testament glory, like I said, was based on promises and sacrifices. Now, look at what was the Old Testament. Can you go to Romans? Take me to Romans. I'll come back here. Take me to Romans chapter 8. Because if you don't understand what it was supposed to accomplish, you may not understand what Paul was saying about one being more glorious than the other. Am I communicating? Now, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after what? The Spirit. In the Old Testament, the Spirit rested on the prophets and enabled them to give utterance as He, the Spirit, moved them. After that, they reverted back to their natural default position. They became humans again. Amen. But even with that, it was glorious. You remember, I want to ask you, Moses, how many times did Moses stand and say, "Thus saith the Lord"? Tomorrow, did he ever say that? Moses was just conversing. You say, by this time tomorrow, God will appear to you. So if you compare Moses' prophetic anointing, it was not Kushano. But when they took of the spirit of Moses and distributed it on 70 people, what happened? They all came on and they just began to prophesy. They couldn't stop. The person who was the original one was just stuck on normal. So a person does not need to be jumping up before he's a prophet. Praise God. I don't know whether you understand what I'm saying. You don't have to. Moses is an example of that kind of prophet who was so powerful. Yet, he had his own weakness. That testament could not sustain them. Because immediately after Moses died, and immediately after Joshua went, problem started. You think they have the strength to continue? Amen. But the Bible tells us this, that the New Testament is different. And what is the difference? Please listen. That testament, apart from the promises and the sacrifices, was just one. What they call a testament is a covenant. I will ask you, when was a covenant cut in the Old Testament? What do you call the Old Testament? When was it cut? On Mount Sinai. That was where they cut the covenant. That was when Moses came back with the testament. And as he read each of God's requirements, the Bible says he sprinkled them with blood, thus binding them. For every commandment given, they agreed to enter into agreement with God that they will keep it. I hope you are following me. That was when they were bonded. They were, or is it bonded or bounded, or sure you get what I'm trying to say. They were cemented with God. Hallelujah. So they entered the covenant. Praise God. But the covenant was weak. What God intended it to produce, He didn't produce it. So in Jeremiah, God now said, I will enter into a new covenant. Not like the one I did with you on Mount Sinai, But this time I'll write it in your heart. But it's still a covenant. Amen. So unlike the one he wrote on the tablets of stone, this time he's going to write it where? In the tablets of the heart. How is he going to write it? He will write by the instrumentality of ministers of the New Testament who minister by the Spirit. Praise God. I don't know whether I'm making sense here. That is how, so the issue of glory is not seen from the perspective of men, it's seen from the perspective of God. Remember, the Bible says, all have sinned. And what happened? They all came short of God's glory. What is His glory? His expectations. Amen. I said amen. Amen. So when we are talking therefore of glory, it's not what has been defined as glory that is really glory. Glory objectives. What does He consider as glory? As far as it's concerned, glory is you meeting His expectations. Amen. And that expectation is tall. What I say it is? Oh. In fact, it is designed in such a way that no natural man can meet that expectation. Praise God. So the Bible says this, if you are going to avoid a condemnation that has been placed upon all flesh, He said you have to walk in the Spirit. Verse 2 says this. He now said this, for the law of the Spirit, which was introduced by... Now, listen to me. There are two components to Jesus' operation. There was a death and there was a resurrection. The church has majored on the death. We are yet to major on the resurrection. Listen to virtually all the music and all the songs that are written. It's about the death of Jesus. Oh, He died for me. Oh, He went to the cross for me. Oh, they put it in the grave for me. Oh, am I communicating? But how many people has seen the power of the resurrection? We hardly talk about it. And there are the keys. The Bible says, for the law of the Spirit of life, we came about by the resurrection, have made me free from the law of sin and death. Praise God. Verse 3. For what the law could not do. Because the law, listen to me, the law in that testament, what we call old, was given for a purpose. But it could not accomplish the purpose. Now, Paul had to argue in many places, and somewhere particularly in Romans, said, was the law weak? Said the law was not weak. Was the law not holy? He said the law was holy. Amen. So why were the people not holy? Praise God. He now gave the clue here and gave us the clue. Therefore, it was weak. In other words, what neutralized the power of the law? Please pay attention again. The Old Testament era, or the days of Moses, powerful, was the Ark of the Covenant. Sure, you remember. What was in the Ark? The first thing they put in the Ark was the Testament. Once that Testament entered, that became the presence of God. Forever, nobody could go near Israel as long as that Ark was there. They later began to add other testimonies. The shewbread, and what? The rod of Aaron that budded. Three items were in that ark. But essentially, what gave that ark life was the law. But the law did not accomplish its purpose. Why was that? It was weak because of the flesh. Remember in Genesis chapter 6, the Bible said God looked at man and found that everything about man was wicked. Can you remember? And He said this, therefore man has also become flesh. Amen. Man has also become flesh. That means there was somebody that is flesh. They had been flesh and long before man became flesh. He has also become flesh. Flesh is not your natural body. Flesh is a genetic coding in your genes. That from the day you are conceived, that they just conceive you. So the egg and the embryo conceive. For sin that conceived. Amen. From that day you are sin. You are not just a sinner, you are a sin that they gave birth to. And from the day you began to say, kuwen, kuwen, your thoughts are wicked. You know that children think. You don't know children think, children talk. They communicate. I've heard of somebody that has the gift of interpretation of tongues. His own interpretation, he can understand what the child is saying. Have you worked in that realm? Grace differs from grace. Hallelujah. They can. Say the thought is wicked because of flesh. So what made the law ineffective, inoperational, was the flesh. And how did God deal with that? So you can begin to see the multidimensional approach of God to solving these issues. He said, he sent his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. Now, that is a very, very... You have to go to chapter 7 to understand what he was saying. And there was the allegory that he gave. He said, look at it from the perspective. Going back to chapter 7. I don't have the time to start doing that. But let's just go. He said, a man and a woman came together and they married. According to the law, once you say I do, you are bound. You are bound to each other till death do you part. Praise God. Are you with me? Okay. Now, because Adam broke his vow, because he was also a woman, in a way he was a woman, because when God gave a woman to him, Eve, it was actually a prophetic declaration. You're all welcome. Everybody, we're welcome. Sorry. So I don't lose my train of my thought. And the reason is that it's not my note. I'm not talking from my notes. Praise God. So, amen. I've lost my thread. Where did I stop? Eh? John the Baptist. Adam. Close Adam. Okay, Adam and Eve, when they married, praise God. Thank you very much. Paul said it was a type between Jesus and the church. Adam being a type of Christ, Eve being a type of the church. Praise God. Do you follow what I'm saying? Now, Adam knew that. Adam understood that concept. But the problem was that when relationship between God, it was like his own wife. Because if you read the prophets, God kept saying Israel was his wife. He didn't say Israel was his son or children. He said it was more only that Israel was the wife. That, of course, we read a lot in Jeremiah, that they have gone into adultery. They have married this idol. They have gone this way. Do you follow it? So it's basically a marital relationship. So, technically, we are the wives of sin, not Satan. You are not Satan's wife. You were sin's wife. In case you don't know, Satan also serves sin. Not the other way around. He doesn't control sin. What Satan does is that he tempts. He's an agent of sin so that you can go to and serve sin. Praise God. So everybody basically is a servant of sin. Amen. I hope you are following me. He now said what Jesus did on the cross, when the Bible says he became sin. You have to now understand it for the perspective that, because sin itself is a mystery. None of the priests of the Old Testament could deal with sin. That testament, that template did not have the capacity to recognize sin and kill sin. What they could do was mitigate the effect of sin. Do you remember when Israel committed fornication and the spirit of death entered the camp? Moses told him, there were two occasions that thing happened. The first occasion, Phineas stood up, went after those fornicating couple and killed them and stayed the hand of God's judgment. Amen. Then there was another time when that they did it again, and Moses told Aaron, said, take censer, put whatever is there, and go in. He did that quickly and ran. And when he got there, the Bible says, and Aaron with the censer stood between the living and the dead. In other words, when death got to where He stood, they stopped. So they were agency of God to stop the operation of death. But they could not isolate death. Like those of you who are in microbiology or all those sciences that can recognize a virus or can recognize a bacteria and know how to kill it. They could not do that. They didn't have the capacity. Amen. But Jesus came on that tree. Now, if Jesus had not, because death could not kill Jesus. All the things all of you were saying that day. Have you watched Wolverine? X-Men. You have an idea. Wolverine can't die. He has the strength or the ability to heal. Jesus would have come down from that cross and dusted his hand and said, "Amen." It was you that was with him in that time, I be. That your man that you were doing rubbish. And you will see his skin healing. Everything healing. And say, "Hey, boys, where did we finish our evangelism?" He will not have been able, he can't die. But for him to taste death for all men, the Bible says he became sin. How did he become sin? The Bible says he was sin. How he was able, it was that cross that made him attract sin. Sin came out of hiding and enveloped him. You watch Venom. These are all typologies. A lot of you can see if you watch him. That is how that film depicts how demon possession takes place. So it was how that sin overwhelmed him and covered him. It was that moment that God struck him. And when he had become sin personified, he could die. And it was easy for God to strike sin at that point. In him, sin died. Having tasted death for all men. Amen. When he killed sin, when sin literally died, he effectively, in the relationship that sin had with us. Do you understand the analogy now? How? See what does that? See, the things we call like a person who fornicates, a person who smokes, and does all those wicked things, is actually a product of a desire in the inside there. Are you with me? And who put that desire there? It's actually sin. Just like a woman, when a woman is impregnated by a man, that thing inside of her begins to what? To grow. And James said, when it has taken time, it will bring forth the fruit. You now say, behold, it's a baby. Then you say, behold, it is called fornication. Amen. It was not that day fornication took place. It has been incubated for a long time. I don't know whether I'm making sense. So when sin was killed, he said you were now free to marry another man. Am I communicating? You are free to do what? To now go and remarry. By the law of marriage, he says once one of the partners died, you can go and remarry. Now the question is, who will you marry? Will you go back and look for your husband, sin that has died on the cross? Or will you look for another handsome man? Now, are you following me? Now, you see, the man that died, he died very well. That man is not coming back for all of eternity. The man called him the man Jesus. What rose up was not Jesus. What rose up was the Christ. Who said all power is mine? So there is a difference in their personality. It is that risen Christ that you have been called now to marry. I don't know whether I'm making sense. You have not been called to marry him. Now, when he marries you, he's supposed to also impregnate you. As sin used to impregnate you. And you produce all kinds of vices that God hated. Now, when this risen Christ impregnates, that's why in Matthew 7, he said, many come on that day and say, Lord, Lord, we prophesy. Lord, Lord, we cast out devils. Lord, Lord, we build structures. If you see what we did, you yourself will be happy. And say, depart from me, worker of iniquity, for I know thee not. What does that mean? It's not that you did not know their names. He's saying that what you produce in the earth, I did not impregnate you with it. Do you follow me? Is it possible to impregnate a woman by remote control? The Kalim Romo Sakai, I impregnate to take it like that. It doesn't work like that, amen. There is need for intimacy, Abi. That you don't know why you have to enter the secret place of the Most High. Because it is there that he impregnates you. When you are worshipping, when you are praying, where you're secluded from everybody, and you're saying, Jehovah, Father, I give you praise. Lord, and you're praying, and you're doing robosco, you're doing everything, and the Holy Ghost begins to drop ideas in your mind, and you begin, I need to inspire you. Then you begin to act on those promptings. Those are the things that He is birthing inside of you. Amen. Those are the things He looks at and He's happy. Those are the things He calls glory. Listen to me. You don't have to ride car before God is happy with you. The one thing I just sat down and asked myself, the cars that we are buying is Tokumbo. 11 years. Hallelujah. And we call our family to come and celebrate with us. A car somebody who's an unbeliever has used and come. Yesterday I was just thinking, who even knows whether the car that I bought was used by a kidnapper or an atheist? Are you with me? Well, that's why when you buy a car, you dedicate it. We don't know. Spirits follow things, those things. Hallelujah. You say you get it. That's why you have dedicated. Could have been a mother, anything could be with it, but for crying out aloud, what is making my stomach happy? I went to Dubai and I saw glory. Cars of 10 years, you still smell the smell. There is no dust, there is no thing. The car is... And I was like, can I carry this? Can I buy a car in Dubai and bring to Nigeria? They said the price, God, will be double the one they will bring from America. That's how I abandoned the idea. I found out that there's no dust. See, the problem in Nigeria is we are dirty. Are dirty. Nigeria is dirty. And I don't know whether God can help us. I'm not sure. Because the man that we want to come and change our behavior is not being born. If not born him. If they born him, they will kill him. They will kill him. I don't know whether that happened to you. I was at my first experience in Portugal. For over a week, I wore my shirt. At the end of the week, I think it was a Saturday morning or so, they came to my room. So I said, do I have any clothes I want to send to laundry? I said, let me check. And I began to check all my clothes. You know, I used to get dirty hair, get dirty. That's how we know you're dirty, you take a hair. And I looked and looked, and I found none. And I was, really? I said, sorry, I don't have one. But then I came back puzzled. How is it that my shirts are not dirty? By now, you only wear it once, but if I try, wear it twice. No. When I go to Akumba, I found out by experience, I don't wear any white colored anything. Because, in fact, before I even get to... But God is Asha, his head is dirty. So, then I realized that there is no dirt in Lisbon. I couldn't see dirt on the road. Everywhere was clean. If rain fall, in less than 2 minutes, it has drained. I said, now I know that we are a third world country. So, if we are going to see glory in you, we must see that bathing of the Spirit on your inside. Now, there are many operations of the Spirit that many of us are not aware of. And maybe you are aware, but there's a certain aspect. Which one is actually what is on God's mind? For me, I have seen that we are easily distracted. Yeah, we are distracted. We are distracted by the ephemeral. We are distracted by the things we see. Those are the things that has become the preoccupation of the present church. Because again, we are using the Old Testament template to try to build a New Testament setup. And that's why it's not working for us. Are you with me, church? Thank you very much. Can you please go back to Romans 8 and pick the third from verse 3. Hallelujah. Say, for what the law could not do that it was weak through the flesh, God sent his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. Verse 4. He now says this. That this is the reason why it did this. This is the operation of the New Testament. This is what the Holy Ghost is trying to accomplish. He said that the righteousness of the law, in other words, the righteousness that the law demanded. The law demanded righteousness. Are you with me, church? Listen, people say, oh, God has, we are free from the law. You are not free from the law. You are still bound by that law. Amen. The New Testament did not alter the agreement on Mount Sinai. It did not. Listen to to me, did the New Testament say that you cannot kill people? No. Did the New Testament say you cannot convert your husband's family wife? No. Did the New Testament permit you now to start stealing? So which one did he deliver you from? What are you talking about? In fact, he that steals should steal no more. Abi, if you are not working, he said, go and work. In fact, the New Testament even added more laws and more rules. Praise God. But essentially, it is still those same Mount Sinai. Unfortunately, the righteousness that law was supposed to have produced in them could not be produced because the flesh weakened it and neutralized it. But it's not said, but now, this is what the Spirit did because Jesus had come and he had risen from the dead. Am I following? Am I still with you? Praise God. He now said this, that the righteousness of the Lord might be fulfilled in us. It could not be fulfilled in them. But please listen, the reason why they brought, I've said before, the reason why we had the priesthood was to make the priest prevent death from entering the house. Are you with me? That was what supposed to prevent from entering the house. They were still sinners. Paul said they still had remembrance of sin. That remembrance is not that, and I lied yesterday. No. That's not what he says. He says that you have, you know how to sin. You know the technology. It's like it's inborn. Praise God. I don't know how to explain it. It's like, I think I've shared it before in church. When I was young, I'm still young. When I was younger, there. Praise God. I used to play football. There were things I would do without thinking. You call it reflex. I don't need to think. I just do it. I was told of Erin Wosu when he was in St. Finbas. Those boys began to play for the national team when they were in secondary school. Erin Wosu, Keshi, what was this person's name? Aduke Amizimeka. They were from St. That was how good those boys were. When Harry used to come to Akoka, Unila, to come and practice, he used to come up with new dribbling skills. Dribbles that had not existed before, and it was with generated right there on the moon. Those boys were more skillful than Messi. Messi, not, when I watched Messi, I said, this is not same players. Have you heard about Eti Messi? Messi would dribble the whole team, the whole everybody, dribble and bring, come back to the same spot. Those were boys. But we don't have them again. So where am I talking? Why I start talking about football? When a day came, it was in Grandpa's house. I went to, they threw the ball at me. My mind knew what he ought to do. My body refused to respond. Then I knew, oh my shoe. I shook myself like Samson. The anointing was gone. That's when I finally retired officially for football. That there's no way again. Praise God. I had no more remembrance. My body had no memory of what to do. Amen. But for you to therefore have memory, that means after you have committed the sin and you have repented, you still know how to go back and sin. Something is working you that knows how to just go. You know that your leg will just start going like this, just go like this. They just find yourself, Father, I've come back to where I started off before. Because you are well anointed in memory. So the Bible says that testament would not neutralize and cancel that memory part that has already been programmed in your mind. Amen. I hope you are with me, church. He now went on to say that the righteousness of the Lord might fulfill us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The only requirement that God has required of us is that you make up your mind to walk in the Spirit. Everything that comes after that is his own responsibility. Your own is to make up your mind to do what? To walk in the Spirit. Amen. Can we continue? Can we go to, okay. Can you jump to verse Verse 8. Amen. Not the flesh. Because that's not my area. Because you have to read chapter 6, 7, and 8 to have a full grasp of it. So then that the flesh cannot please God. But you see, the flesh is basically an operation of your mind. Everybody say mind. Say, for those who mind earthly things, can't please God. If you mind the flesh, you can't please God. Please give me verse 5. Dickie, please give me verse 5. Right, move on. For they that are after the flesh, what do? They mind. What does it mean to mind something? Again, I need your help here. What does it mean to mind something? To set your heart. To be preoccupied. That thing is what directs your thoughts. Just sit down like that. You know when it happens to just sit down like that? You know where your mind will go without any stress. That's where your mind is. You mind the things of the flesh, and they that after the spirit, the things of the spirit. So when you mind the things of the spirit, they give you a nickname. It's called SU, Spirit Coco Say, and what are the other things? Yagesu. They give you all those names. You know why they don't want you to do? Because every time you walk in the spirit, you condemn those who walk in the flesh. Because that's how it always has always been. The Bible says the children of Mount Sinai and the children of Kinney, they will always persecute each other. That's always been like that. The flesh will persecute the spirit. The spirit, the flesh. Galatians tell us that. Now let's go to 9. Because I'm going somewhere. But ye are not in the flesh. Please mind the construct of the sentences. It didn't say you are not flesh. It said you are not in the flesh. Remember I said those who walk according to the spirit. But it said, but ye, when you use the word but, it means shugmon. Opposite in meaning to what he has been saying before. Shugmon, you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. Conditionally, if so be that the Spirit of God does what? Dwell in you. How doeth the Spirit dwell? You'll have to go back to Corinthians again. Then Paul was saying that no man knows the things of God except by the Spirit. And that Spirit has revealed those things. Are you with me? There are things. It was the Spirit started the deep things of God. Those deep things are the things that make God to be God, which he searches for and deposits in your inside. Those things he deposits are all contained in the commandments that are written in the tablets of the heart. I don't know whether I'm making sense. Amen. Because we will not produce that glory if we don't understand the dynamics of how that glory ought to be produced. Praise God. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So when a man stands before you and he sings Christian songs, praise God, he's not a Christian because he's composed and sang Christian songs. He's a Christian because he has the Spirit of Christ. That's what you should be looking for. Ah, tell that sister, she can sing. Ah, she can sing. She used to sing Jesus songs a lot. You don't know your right from your left. Can you go to verse 10? I want to hurry up. And if Christ, this is where I'm coming to. And if Christ be in you, if Christ, you know, you talk about the Spirit of God living in you, God in you. And if Christ be in you, he says, the body is dead. This is your body, is dead. Because of what? Sin. But the Spirit, righteousness. Now, what is the implication of this? When a person gives his life to Jesus, immediately, there's eternal life deposited in him. Praise God. If he dies that day, he will go to heaven. Praise God. Am I communicating? And that life grows. It grows by many means. Study of the word. You share your faith. You pray. What else do? You fellowship. do all those basic things, and those things will grow. You face challenges. You don't back away from challenges. Sure, you understand. Those things will grow. But your body will be sick. Because the reason why your body is sick is that there is sin in your flesh. The Bible says the life of a man is in his blood. Are you with me? Why is it that when a person dies, the first thing they do is to drain the blood from him so that to prevent decay? Decay starts from the blood. They discover that. So the carrier of life for man and any other animal is the blood. Praise God. That's what we say is dead, because there is still sin in your genetic coding. It has not been removed. But the working of the Spirit on your inside is righteousness. So a man who is righteous, a man who serves God, he has prayed, he has done great things in the name of Jesus, will still eventually die. You understand that? But yet, he will give up his body and his soul will return to God. Praise God. Then we say, there's this song they used to sing, the song of the dead. Eh? Thank you, Joe. I want to stop singing the song of the dead. But every time I go there and I hear the song of the dead, it reminds me that you will die. Praise God. Now that's not my problem. My problem is that faith cometh by hearing. And every time I hear it, it's building my faith more to die. Do you get what I'm saying here? So I'm trying to avoid, I don't know. It's not that I'm wicked to go, my father died, but I don't want to come. You now know why I don't want to come. But I'll tell you more about that in a few minutes. Don't die on me, oh. Don't die. Oh. Amen. All of us here must outlive all of you. You must be the one to come and do our burial when we are 80 or 90. I say, Pastor, Papa has gone to rest. Now you need to come and do your, you know, enter your own. Praise God. Your own great gratitude there too. We do your own burial. Praise God. If Jesus tarries. But we cannot continue like this forever. That is where the problem lies. We cannot continue to expect that this is the end of all men. It is not so. That is not the promise of the New Testament. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Verse 11 now says this. Dicky. Say, but if. Everybody say, but if. That is where the issue has been. We have been contented with Jesus in our inside. You know, Colossians said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. We are just contented with having Christ in us, the hope of glory. But listen to me. The New Testament is much more bigger. Much more. What it offers is mind-boggling. It's as impossible as it was to those 10 spies that said we saw giants in the land and we are not able to do it. What I want to share with you, we are not able to do it. Amen. It's as big as that. You understand why the Holy Ghost was given. The Holy Ghost was not primarily given for ministry. It was not given for tongues and all that. It was given for this purpose. You can speak tongues and die. This one, if you do this one, if you get this one right. But that is what we are talking about. Are you still with me, church? If the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, emphasis, dwell. You know what it is to dwell? Live. Not come as it used to do with the Old Testament saints and go. Dwell. But go through your New Testament and go and look at those words. Dwell. Amen. He that raised up Christ. Praise God. Oh God. He that raised up Christ. Ephesians said, and he was raised. Are you with me? And made to sit on the right hand of God where? In majesty. That was a power that God had never demonstrated. Nay, the angels have not seen it ever before. God has raised the dead, but to raise the dead from Shiloh, the place of the dead, and raise him beyond the stars and beyond the angelic strata, and make a man sit on his right hand, that power had never been demonstrated. It was first demonstrated when Jesus was raised from the dead. Amen. And I say, if that same spirit that did that operation dwell in you, now this is what he's going to do. If that says, what will he do? He shall quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. What therefore is our problem in the church? That we have not begun to talk about this. Now, if we begin to preach these things and begin to talk about these things, people's faith will begin to go out and reach it. Amen. You go out. Continue verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are not debtors, not to the flesh, but to live out of the flesh. Verse 13. Oriel. For if we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if we through the Spirit do modify the deeds of the body, we shall what? We shall live. For as many as I led, amen, by the Spirit of God is what? I thank God this scripture helped us when we're looking for a wife. Amen. But the truth is that it was not written in the context of looking for wives and brothers. Was written in the context of life. The purpose of his leading is to lead you in the path of what? Righteousness. And every path has a terminal point. Am I communicating? It has a positional point it's taking you to. It doesn't lead you forever. No. It must end somewhere. And where is ending? In sonship. As many as he leads them into sonship. And from that point, Paul deviated into sonship concepts. Am I communicating? Can we continue? 15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry Abba, Father. 16. And now say, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. 17. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. 18. For I reckon. He's talking about what? Sonship. But he started from where? Do you remember verse 1 where he was talking from righteousness? The suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed. Back again here. There's a glory that needs to be revealed. But unlike the Old Testament, it was glory coming from outside down. This Testament is glory coming from inside out. Hallelujah. Faith was revealed in us. Verse 19. He now said this. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. 20. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who also subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. What the testament is to produce as sons in the order of the second Adam. Am I communicating? As sons in the order of who? Second Adam. Anything anybody is doing on earth that can be generated by human effort is not glory. That is why it was compared to the glory of Solomon. Anything that your flesh can do, we can put together. Brother Molulu, please let us do this decoration. Put light here. Buy this thing here, put it here. You know that television that has screen, that we just an AC that used to blow anointing AC, amen. And those keyboards that used to, well, people come and say, kakapayeke leba. I have found the church of my desire, amen. That is not glory. Am I communicating, church? All those things does not touch God. For they will all pass away. Am I communicating? Oh, our brother built the biggest cathedral in Port Harcourt. Bishop Ojekwu is building his own now. But that bishop's own is going to be the back. It's the final. There cannot be another church like what Bishop is building. The concept is bad. Bishop Abba. Imagine you coming to church, hallelujah, and you see a stadium. The chairs will come down by lift. All the chairs come back. You go and enter, sit on your chair. One of you are seated, the thing will take me at your right and lock you in. Penguin. After service, the thing will bring you back down. They sit there, one bed. Everything was there. And brother, I lost 7 years. Glory to God. You will get there, you say, God is in Nigeria. Fake. It's not there. You forgot that the Bible says that the wind blew and it was not there. The earthquake came, it was not there. Everything, it was not there. Where did you find him? In the still small voice. When will the church learn the ways of God? Now, it's difficult to. Don't let me deceive you. It's easy to do mouth here. Amen. If the microphone does not do well on Sunday, there will be a crisis. You understand? But I know it's not glory, but we need it. Praise God. Am I communicating, church? Itself, they will deliver. See, the creation that is subject to decay cannot be delivered until sons rise. When sons rise, you will not conduct deliverances. The powers of darkness will fall from the sky. That is what Jesus is coming back for. He's coming back for sons who are fully sons. Now, let me finish because I'm mindful of my time. I didn't plan this. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, I think I may need my Bible. Did I bring my Bible? Oh, my. I didn't bring my Bible. Okay, let me see if I can. You know the story in 1 Corinthians 15. I guess everybody does. Or you don't know. Now, if you don't know, there is nothing I can do. Is it 1 Corinthians 15 or 2 Corinthians 15? It's 1 Corinthians 15. Yes, it's 15. Hallelujah. When Paul began to speak, he spoke about the glory of the Son. You remember? The glory of, thank you very much, just the Bible. The glory of different kinds of, so let's say one glory is different from another glory. I hope you remember that. Praise God. And he began to compare glories together. Okay. Then he began to speak about the resurrection. Praise God. From verse 42. He says, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in corruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown in natural body. It is raised in spiritual body. There's a natural body and there's a spiritual body. So as it's written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Albeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. And afterwards that which is what? Spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the night earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. Verse 49. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of what? The heavenly. Now the question is that the church has put this into the future. That when we die, we will now take on the image that Jesus actually came to effect in the earth. No, that's not true. If that is the truth, then why will those who have died come back with him? Hello? They must come back with him, and then they must put on their bodies. Amen. Bones to bone, all of them will come, wherever they may be, they will come back. And Paul, you know, said that we don't know how as he is, so shall we also be. Then how is he? We saw him in the resurrection. When he came, he disappeared. And he ate. And after he ate, he disappeared again. Hallelujah. Nothing could hold him, yet he's tangible. The Bible says he had no blood. The difference between that Jesus that walked the earth and the one that is a quickening spirit is that he has no blood flowing in his veins again. He doesn't live by the power of blood. He lives by the power of the Spirit. Amen. So we are going to have that same nature. We are the only creation in the whole of creation that will be like him. As an eternal testament of God's love for humanity. I don't know whether I'm making sense. For all of eternity, you will see those oaths in his hands. You will see, I don't think this is not where they nailed him. So you guys know. They nailed him here. This is where you see the nail. Where you see, if you see any Jesus that has nailed here, he's a fake one. Please, it's a fake one. Because many spirits have gone out and they are deceiving the world. You see those ones they used to draw? And those Amalak. That's art. And there are stones around him. That's a fake Jesus. So it's not the real one, no. Yeah, praise God. So, let me rush. So, we are born the image of the earthly. We shall bear the image of the heavenly. Now this, verse 15. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Now, 51. Excuse me. I'll show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. How many will be changed? This is a continuation of what was said in 1 Romans chapter 8. We shall all be changed. Give me verse 52. Let's continue. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, remember the second coming. Say, people remember. Paul was writing to Thessalonians concerning those who have written them and have deceived them and has caused confusion. Said, let no man upset you or deceive you. Said, that day will not come except that be a falling away for us. No, I've said that. All right. For the prophet shall shout and the dead shall be raised corrupted and we shall all be changed. But that's not my emphasis. Now please can you rush over. Over. Verse 54. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption. When is this going to happen? Said if the spirit that raised up Jesus dwell in what? What will it do? That is him. Converting corruption into incorruptible. Praise the Lord. Am I making sense? Now why not say that? And this mortal shall have put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written. Death is swallowed up what? In victory. Next verse. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? The stink of death is what? Is sin. And the power of sin is what? Is the law. Can you see the progression? If you want to stop death, stop sin. And if you want to stop sin, obey the law. Simple. It's a simple progression. That is why the Spirit came that can enable you and I to obey the law that can produce that righteousness. The simple program. That is when glory will show. That's when they will now know that the glory of this testament far exceeded that of Moses. Because in the law, in the glory of Moses, it was just demoing. This one, men will rise and Moses was a type of God's son. But death had dominion over him. Paul wrote it there. Said people did not sin after the similitude of Adam sin still died. But these ones have conquered sin and death. You now know what he was speaking about in Romans chapter 8. Said for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. How did he make it possible for you to be free from the law of sin and death? Because he's working in you to obey everything that the Spirit of God demands. And so when death and the enemy comes, there's no basis Because when that operation is going on, your body is being mortified. Somebody said there's a difference between divine health and divine healing. Divine healing is that you fall sick, they pray for you, they heal you. Yeah, this one, sickness can't stay in your body. But there's a life that is running a program in your body. And we saw a type of that life. When Paul was beaten of that snake, you remember? Remember that story? And the Bible said, and he was beaten of that snake. And he yanked the snake out of him and threw it in the fire. And they waited for Paul to swell and die. And Paul was okay. Now, if you know snakes, I killed one recently, some few days ago. And Sam Bumi was still saying, the thing is not dead. It's still moving. I said, that is how snakes are. I don't know how God created it. That one is a different creation. Praise God. A snake you have killed for 2 days, put fire or put kerosene, the thing will switch. And show signs is alive, even though you have cut the head off. If that snake entered fire, that shows that it had died before it entered the fire. The fire didn't kill the snake. Paul killed the snake. So what was in Paul? That transferred death to death. Because that snake was an agent of death. In case you don't know, snake kills is an agent. Mosquito is an agent. Trailer, they are agents. Amen. Okada drivers are agents. So please, when you are going to ride Okada, bind the spirit of death upon them that is following them. Do you follow me? They are agents. But that means beat Paul. That means something was running in the body of Paul that had capacity to swallow death up in victory. All those stories were put in the Bible to give us snapshots of realities yet to come. They are prophetic realities. Amen. Then, because a generation must rise in the earth that would declare that, say, oh death, where is your victory? I agree. Where is your sting? You now know why I don't want to be going to burial ceremony again. I want somebody to be stirring faith in me to believe God for this reality. I don't know whether I'm making sense. So, do you understand what I'm trying to say? Because we have to, cause faith come out by hearing. We have to start telling the church that the Spirit of God, the Spirit, there are two operations. There's the Spirit of Christ and there's the Spirit that raised him. That operation is what will mortify the mortal bodies. But it comes with obedience. So if we say, brother, let me carry this phone. Go and drop here. And you say, look, me, pastor, talking to you. Doesn't know that I have an MSC. I'm not dropping there. I'll drop it here because I have common sense. You can't operate in this realm. Because in your heart is stubbornness. I don't know whether I'm making sense. We are talking to someone saying, pastor, it's not in the Bible. No problem. If you cannot obey the person you see, when will you obey the spirit you cannot see? That's how it starts. I will conclude with this thing, and I begin to understand Adeboye. He said it, that when he was young, he was not born again. The mother, I don't know if the mother was born again. The mother will call him. Of all the brothers, he said he will run to his mom. And the mom will look at him. I said, as you have responded to my call, thousands will respond to your call. Is it not coming to pass? God does not pick anybody. Don't deceive ourselves. No. Work on your heart. Thank you for giving me extra 1 minute. I'm closing now. Amen. Glory will come. But don't seek for the wrong type of glory. Don't continue to say, Ogo Omioluwa, Ogo Omioluwa. This is your Ogo, and that is manifestation of songs. That is our collective destiny. Your destiny is not to become the governor of Nigeria. Your destiny is to come and manifest as a son of God. Anything less than this, you have been cheated. I think I will stop here for tonight. Hallelujah. Any questions? And then we pray. Questions, we pray. Hallelujah. All right, Sabimbo. Thank you. Can you give her a microphone? I think I have one here.
You mentioned that Jesus became sin, like, and for sinful flesh he died for us all, he tasted death for all. And he said the at point that he did that was on the cross. So what now transpired on the mount where he was really crying and his weep was that the Bible recorded that it's as thick as blood. I thought it was at that time he was really drinking the cup of
microphone.
Okay.
Thank you. You said you thought he was drinking blood.
No, like
he was drinking the cup of God's wrath. No,
yes.
He didn't drink it then.
Okay.
He didn't drink it then. That was, he said, basically he cried to him that was able to save him. It was a cry. Because there's no way Jesus could have gone to that. Let me explain this way. God has helped him to a particular point in life. But what he was about to face, he had never faced before. He needed another fresh grace. Remember he said that this lady anointed me for my death. But after that anointing, he still needed to be strengthened to face that challenge. If he did pray before going, I can promise you Jesus would have slapped some people that day. Wait, yeah, you, when you came to me that day, I healed you. You are beating me. Yeah, you understand. So he needed to go and meet God and receive strength and grace for the challenge ahead. He didn't presume on God that what he had was okay. So it was not there that thing happened. But after that, he had settled the matter in the garden. He stood up. He said, now is the hour of darkness. Because he had prevailed in his heavenly. Grace has been given to him. Because from that point till he died, God did not answer again. Heaven's closed over him. You remember he cried, he said, why have thou forsaken me? God, heaven closed. So without that strength, he would not have gone. So it's a lesson in zone for us to learn. Now you don't presume on yesterday's grace. No, it doesn't work that way. You need, for that one you are facing, collect it. Alright. Any other one? Alright. Pastor, I'll take you last.
Daddy, you mentioned two types of glory. You mentioned the one of this earth, the one of this earth, where you're talking about what we see, riches as we do, as we know it. And then the final thing you said now is that our glory, collective glory, what we should look forward to, our collective destiny, is manifestation of songs. Now, I have to think, okay, now ambition, bringing ambition now into it.
Uh-huh.
So I think, okay, manifestation of sons, my initial, I don't know, I need clarity on that. I feel as a Christian in my career path and what I've chosen, I'm getting somewhere that how I should probably manifest, might actually be in...
How do you combine your ambition,
so
your career-wise, with pursuing the agenda?
Manifestation of sons, is it particularly about that resurrection, or is it something that should, in all we do, should come to show? If it should come to show in all we do, how does my ambition tend towards that and not that physical? Like, my ambition is not.
Romans chapter 12. Romans 12. What does it say? I'm asking. Romans 12, 1-3. Recite it.
Therefore, brethren, by
by the grace of God, yeah.
That you present yourself a living sacrifice. Your body is a living sacrifice, living and acceptable, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Verse 3.
For I see through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith.
Oh. How does that answer your question? It doesn't answer your question. You don't know how it answers your question. Why are you having that as an issue is a problem I've been seeing. That we have all come to believe that our natural life is basically to show forth certain kinds of glory. And as far as I'm concerned, that glory is what I can achieve by my own strength. For example, I can choose to become a businessman and leave church. Who want to show to pastor that I too can ride the GMC, amen. Then I do also, even though Sir Olamide says it's not also, praise God. I also, I bank. They say, pastor too has arrived, hallelujah. I'm now a big boy. I have glory. Then I say, oh, go to me today, amen. That's my ambition. How does that implement the one that God has? Hello? The mystery of the New Testament is that while you are pursuing your natural activities in life, you are also pursuing this goal. Are you with me? Because God did not take you out of the earth where you gave your life to Jesus. He kept you here. It is the midst of this wickedness. Remember the parable of the kingdom. When he was going to get for himself a kingdom, he gave talents to five of his servants. And what did he tell them? He said, occupy till I come. Now, when he was going, his subject sent message ahead that we don't like this man and will not want you to be king over us. That told you that the subjects were hostile to their master. Yet, they all had to occupy in the midst of hostile relationships. They had to still trade. They still had to find a way of representing their master and make profit. Are you with me? Yet man is always the problem. He wants to reap where he did not sow. He didn't make friends with these people and he wants to be the one to be trading with them. I will keep his talent and he threw it under the cap or whatever. Until the master can say, take your son, I did not trade. You know the rest of the story. So the idea is that in spite of the fact that you are living in the wicked generation, you must still excel. How you go about it? Paul said, now walk out your salvation with fear and trembling. I won't be able to tell you how to go about that yourself. You just have to be careful with the kind of choices you make. This afternoon I was going through, I came across an article. And found out that there are certain careers, about 15 careers identified in America, where the divorce rates are very high. If you enter that career path, chances are that you end up divorced. Because you are not going to have time for your family. It's going to expose you to all kinds of things, and you are not going to be able to keep it home. One of it is military, especially if you are a frontline military officer. If they post you from here to Akure, they have not landed in Akure, they carry you, they throw you to Manduguri, they carry you to go to Guru. Before you know it, you have no family. And especially police officer, they will have wives here, children. They have, everywhere in Nigeria, they have wives and children. Is that true? So they are starting, so you can't come and say, pastor, I want to be police officer. I can't bless you. Because I know the risk you are going to be taking. How will you cope when they say go to roadblock and go and mount road checkpoint? Praise God. Bro? And you guys are like, back. Bro Daniel. Don't bro Daniel me. You sure that brother Daniel will go to heaven? So there are certain careers. If you want to keep you, I'm not saying that they will not make it to. I believe that in the number of people in police, that ever done police, that will go to heaven. God has their number. Praise God. He already knows them. They have a quota. It's not for a policeman to get to heaven. It's rare. It's going to be very rare. Amen. I'm not saying that other careers don't have their temptations. So there's no career. There's nothing any human in that doesn't have his own challenges. But some are much more prone to corruption than others. I hope you understand. So, my dear, you have to balance it out. You have to pursue this one while you are doing that other one. But you cannot pursue one at the detriment of the other. Are you with me? Certain times, I read of a story of a brother who got a good job, very, very good paying job, in one city in America, and he came to tell the pastor, "We are going to be leaving, I have this job and everything." And he was a very, very, very veteran brother in church. His family was very blessed to the church. And the pastor called him back and said, "This city you are going to, do you think you will find a church that your children can grow without any crisis? Do you think you will have time to serve God?" And by the time he laid out all those things to him, the guy found out that he's not going to survive. He goes to that town. He gave up that opportunity to stay there. Will you say he has no ambition? Yes, he had ambition, but he had to weigh it. Because that was the same problem that Brother Lot, he said he saw a land that was, he said, this is my breakthrough. And it cost him his family, it cost him a lot. So, those things are there as examples to warn us. Am I okay? God will help us in Jesus. Please, Pastor is asking the question. Okay, I will take you last. Because I saw Pastor's hand up first.
Please, I want to thank God for comforting me through this message. I'm really comforted. I came across the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 4, that you dwell on, and I thought I was heretic. Please, can you give us? That the righteousness of the Lord might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I have discovered that there are two concepts of righteousness. You know, there is this righteousness of God, and there is the righteousness of believer in Christ Jesus. Our emphasis most of the time is our righteousness in Christ Jesus. And I came to understanding that righteousness is not much more, is not more of what Christ did for us as believer, but more of what the Spirit enable us to fulfill that righteousness. I don't know whether the communication is clear.
Okay.
Because when you look at it, the Holy Spirit is what enables us to fulfill the righteousness of the law. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
And that is very, very important. That is where I am so much comforted, because when I was tearing this thing down, I thought, or maybe at the end of the day, I thought that it was an heretic. But when this thing was coming, I was looking at it that, there's a way God, because I was almost going into depression over it. There's a way God give you comfort and say, no, you are not out of order. So in other words, that righteousness that we are able to fulfill the law is enabled by the Spirit. And like Pastor said, I went to verse 29. Give it to us. 8:29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn
among many brethren.
And I asked myself that, how many firstborn among many brethren would God have? Is he talking about us? Is he still talking about Christ? Praise God. Now the first thing is that he's not talking about his suffering will. God is not talking about his own suffering will for us to be conformed. He didn't choose us. It's not his suffering will. He did not arbitrarily choose us. But the suffering will of each and of all men to make a choice. I don't know whether...
Okay, what you are saying is that God did not say, it is you I will choose.
Yes,
I will choose you.
I'm not to see you.
The suffering will for the whole world.
For the whole world, that God gives all Everybody is sovereign with to make a choice that, okay, I'm going to be. And once you become, you have the image of his son.
Yes.
And that image of his son makes you to be like son. Praise God.
All right.
So you are also become the first begotten, even as Christ become the first begotten. So when Pastor was saying this thing, I said, okay, I don't have anybody to share this scripture with. And
you should have shared it with me.
And you know, I was really worried about it. I was bothered about it. So, but when Pastor was talking about, you know, it's not about your glory. It's not. It's about him. It's not. So it is the Holy Ghost, and this is where we have the manifestation of glory, our arrival into this image.
Amen. That's true.
When
Thank
we
you.
Come into this image, we won't struggle again. And I ask myself, Pastor, I don't know whether, because this is the question I want to ask.
It's that time, yes.
I'm asking that if we have not seen the manifestation, so much of manifestations, of what we saw in Christ, does it imply that we have not arrived at the image?
I think the answer to that is that the image is being formed. There is a forming of that image, and it's taking time. Because I guess, again, you can see the connection, the writing. Because, again, you see, the image came up in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Just as we behold him, we are changed from glory to glory as we, you know. So it's like that image is what God is forming. And when it is fully formed, sons rise. So the issue, therefore, is... We can say a lot about image, but I can't go into all that tonight. But the issue is that as leaders in the church, our primary assignment is spelled out for us in Ephesians chapter 4. That is what we have been told to do. That men may conform. That men may have that nature of Christ. Any other thing you are doing is over syllables. And I fear for many of us who are ministers that we are pursuing somebody else's agenda. Many have thriving ministries, but they are not doing what is our primary assignment. That's a story for another day. So I guess the purpose, therefore, for the ministry gift is to form that image and keep and it requires a fivefold ministry gifts and every other associated ministries to make it all come to that fullness of the Christos. It's a lot of work. And that's why I fear. I really, really fear. Of God. Rather than God's word to fail, it will change men. It will change men. God cannot. It cannot fail. It is we that can fail. It is we that shame will cover. And I don't want that to be my portion. And I don't want that to be your portion. God will help us in Jesus' name. Sister, she's the last person. You are the last person. The person, okay. You know, right now, I just forgot your name. Talk off for it, all right.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. Okay. So you don't mind, I reported myself. I'm forgiven. Yes. No, I would not have reported myself. Hey. Praise God.
You were talking about... Jesus Christ, that when he resurrected, there was no blood flowing in him. So I just be thinking when you said that when we are supposed to become like Christ Jesus, and is it like a journey that we are supposed to come to the way he came into that point? Because the life of a thing is in his blood.
Ben.
And it's more like this thing of a thing flows in our blood.
Ben.
More like it's an impulse. So, and when Christ resurrected, those thoughts, when you said the blood was not in him, and maybe it was a life in the spirit that I was not living by when he came to see his disciples and the like. So I don't understand.
Honestly speaking, I don't understand your question.
So
can you help me break it down? Do we need an interpreter of questions?
Okay.
Okay, let me try and see if I can decipher it. You are asking, is it a journey that we do to get to that place where we will lose blood? Where they will transfuse, they will remove your blood in your body, and then they will take it out.
Is it a kind of glory that we have to come into, that the impulse of sin in the blood and everything will just go away like that? The way Christ died and resurrected.
Well, Sister Comfort, I have no answer to your question, but I want to risk giving what my thoughts on that. If you go to Romans chapter 6, it said, I think verse 23 or thereabout. I don't know. I'll be pastor. I don't know. So you know what I'm going to do. Give me Romans. Okay, it's not 23. Where did it say that sin shall not have dominion over your body? 14. 6:14, Abby. Can you go? Are you looking for it? They're saying, I think 6:14. Okay, give me verse. Let's take the top from verse 12. So we can have a contextual. So let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Can you see the issue of obedience here? So everything stands and falls with obedience. Amen. That you should not obey. Now, it's about the promptings to sin. How do you respond to those promptings, those desires, those thoughts, those inclinations? Praise God. He said, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness. Do you know that you can lend Satan your eyes? He's not your now, but my ear for 2 minutes. Two minutes. You know that Woli, that one Woli guy, I like that guy. I said you should wind down your class. I will borrow it for 2 minutes. Just use it. So I said, 2 minutes, okay. And that 2 minutes will wreck your life for the rest of your life. Or your hand. You know, you can lend him your hand. This hand. Yes, lent him. And you now tell everybody it was lent him the hand. So I said, don't yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. 14 now says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under that law, but under grace. Which law was he speaking about? It was not the law on Mount Sinai. It was speaking about the law of sin and death. He now went on to say, therefore reckon yourself dead. Therein has been the challenge of the church. We've not come to a place of our reckoning. Because see, your reckoning and your reality are not usually the same. And most of the time, you have been trained to go with your reality, not your reckoning. Amen. It takes a lot of training to do. It takes a lot of mental reconditioning to be poor. And when people ask you, man of God, baoni, so you are telling the truth. Abi, is that not true? Is ilu not le? Buhari is not, it's not for you. Are you tough? But by God's grace, which one does Satan believe? Do you follow me? But when people come and meet, say, Pastor Paoni, I bless God, I'm a very rich man. You know, Pastor, what are you, Pastor in Ikondo? I saw him working from here to Oluwatuyi, and he's saying he's blessed. He said he's rich, and he has no money. Please, talk to your senior pastor. I don't know whether you understand what I'm trying to say. It takes a lot of guts to reckon yourself dead. What does it mean to be dead? It means that it does not move you again. You have come to a place that doesn't... Sister, lie. Now, sister, sorry, I cannot lie. Because you have conditioned yourself that even if I put God on my head, I won't tell a lie. It takes a conditioning. That's why that's the part that you must do. Holy Ghost will not do that one for you. This one does not respond to anointing. I don't know whether I'm making sense. That's the problem we have not, that's the issue we have not addressed yet in the church. That we are saying, which was what Pastor was saying, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm a spirit being. My spirit does not sin. Bros, you were online in a fire. Do you follow me? So these are things that we need to begin to address. The truth is that if you sit down with Romans, that book of Romans, Galatians, Pastor Kilo, what other things, Ephesians, all those, Paul and something, this thing will break. It will break. But, you know, this careless, flippant attitude, just, I'm a career person. I like your career, but please don't destroy your soul as you pursue it. Amen. I think we should stop here tonight. Father, we thank you. Can we just bless the Lord? Just appreciate the Lord. Let's ask God for help. Because I reckon yourself to be dead. That reckoning requires the Holy Ghost to help us. Even though we must be the ones to do it. But say we do not know how we ought to pray. We don't know how to pray. We don't even know what we need. We don't know what to do. We don't even know how to go about doing it. There are so many things that are not just in line. They're not just gelling together. They're not coming together. But the Bible tells us that God has given us grace to say no. There's a grace to say no to unrighteousness. There's a grace to do the will of God. There's a grace to do the things of by following the Spirit and walking in the Spirit. There's a grace for that. I don't want to be bound by flesh. I don't want to be a servant of sin. I want to stop yielding my members and lending the devil members of my body, especially your mind. My mind. Oh Lord, help me. Father, help me. I want to strengthen me, Father. The Bible says that before his master, the servant stands or he falls, remember that everything must be seen from God's perspective. Men may not see your glory. That is not what you are building. Even if tomorrow they make you the governor of the state, that is not your glory. Paul said that, you know, using the world but not abusing it. We will use it but we will not abuse it, because that is not our focus in life. I may become the president of Nigeria, but that is not my focus. It doesn't show glory. I know what my goal is. Father, help us. Father, help us. Father, help us. Ask for grace. The grace that teaches a man. Let the grace of God be our portion in the name of Jesus. Let the grace of God be our portion.
If you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit, you can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many Spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocese every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.